Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Conversation with Daniel Horowitz around what the WHO is trying to do. You could call this part two, but they are separate conversations. But I would recommend listening to both of them if you really want to know about the most important story happening in the world that no one's talking about. This is about how red states should preemptively secede from the World Health Organization. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show by taking out your podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show and hitting the plus sign to subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start high school or college chapters today at tpusa.com. Or come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas at tpusa.com/YWLS. tpusa.com/YWLS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. What's so interesting is this question of why are we doing this to ourselves? It's a question that Douglas Murray asks in the phenomenal book War on the West, which I encourage you to read. And we had him on our show a couple weeks ago, and I listened to the book very carefully, and I read it. I listen to books too. It's easier when you're working out and doing things. And Douglas Murray makes the argument, and he asks the question, why is it that the West is so intent on punishing itself? It's almost this continual and relentless campaign of self-laceration. It's not about justice. It's not about improvement. It's not about introspection. It is about trying to harm the West because you feel as if either we're too strong, too powerful, it's inequitable, and you want the civilization to crumble as a way to trying to even out the playing field. And that plays perfectly into what Joe Biden is doing in Geneva at the World Health Organization, which is that it's our own government that is proposing that America becomes less powerful, less free, and less sovereign. It's our own government. It's not as if that the World Health Organization is doing this to America. It'd be one thing if the World Health Organization in Geneva was meeting and they were conspiring against America. But what's so perplexing, psychologically and otherwise, is that we're the ones that are asking the WHO to make us less powerful. You need to think about that. That we're the ones that are going and saying, hey, we actually don't want to be in charge of our health decisions. World Health Organization, can you punish us potentially more? Now, mind you, all of this is happening while there is another outbreak happening. It is a monkeypox pandemic that is spreading. Now, some of you might be really worried that you might be getting monkeypox soon. Well, maybe let me put your mind at ease, or maybe not put your mind at ease. So monkeypox, the virus is spreading in Massachusetts. It was in the United Kingdom, Spain, and Portugal. It's all cases in men. The transmission occurs through contact with bodily fluids or through respiratory droplets following a prolonged face-to-face contact. So for those of you that want more clarity on bodily fluids, I can't help you there. So you can figure that out yourself. So for the more, let's just put it this way, promiscuous members of American society, you might have to be very worried about monkeypox. This is says here, the Center for Disease Control has confirmed the U.S. case on Wednesday after initial testing completed late Tuesday at the State Public Health Laboratory in Jamaica Plain. The man poses no risk to the public and is in hospital and is in good condition. Five cases were also confirmed in Portugal. The virus does not spread easily between people. Transmission occurs through contact with bodily fluids or long drawn out face-to-face contact. Items such as clothing or bedding contaminated with fluids or sores can also spread it. Now, again, if you're worried about this, that's your own life choice, I suppose, of why you would be worried about the transmission of bodily fluids. But why am I bringing this up? The point is that if we surrender sovereignty to the World Health Organization, then outbreaks like this that might be seemingly inconsequential, the WHO can immediately intervene and usurp American sovereignty and decision-making. So the monkeypox example is a little silly in some sense, but it's actually super important and a real-life example of how any sort of strain of anything that might not... Look, no one's going to catch the monkeypox just by walking through the mall. Yep, it takes a lot more effort than that and a lot different life choices to get that sort of a virus in and that sort of, you know, basically to become infected. The point is that what if the World Health Organization said, no, this monkeypox thing, big problem. If this resolution goes as it is written in Geneva, if it goes as it is composed and as it is in its current form, what would prevent the World Health Organization from coming in and declaring what would be a molehill to be a mountain and saying that lockdowns and measures are necessary? That is what the Biden administration wants to do. The Biden administration is wanting America to be less powerful. Has there ever been an American president? Maybe Woodrow Wilson, but even he was in some ways more of a patriot than this current group of ruling criminals that run our country, that advocates and lobbies for the weakening of your own nation? Cut 72. Dr. Robert Malone brilliantly explains that the World Health Organization is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, Bill Gates, and the World Economic Forum. Ooh, we knew all about the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is meeting this weekend, by the way, in Davos, Switzerland. And then the World Health Assembly is meeting in Geneva. I wonder how much overlap there is. That'll be really interesting. We should do that, Connor. We should do a study of how many people attend both the World Economic Forum and the World Health Assembly. Probably a lot. There's probably a one-to-one correlation almost. They just kind of take their jets over the hill. Actually, Davos is not far from Geneva. My Swiss geography is... I'll look at a map while we play this tape. Play cut 73.
The World Health Organization is responsive to who funds it. And the people, the dominant funders now are the CCP and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And Bill is basically a surrogate for the agenda of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And the tie-in now is they're trying to apply the same strategy that allows them to suspend normal operations and normal rules and constitutional processes in these Western governments. And they're trying to give the power to the World Health Organization.
So Davos is 4 hours and 51 minutes, 4 hours and 31 minutes by car. For the very important people that attend Davos, they'll take their Gulf Streams over the mountains. 25 minutes straight into Geneva. They won't. They wouldn't. Are you kidding? They wouldn't bear themselves down with mountain and tunnel traffic. I mean, come on. These are important people, everybody. Connor says, Switzerland does look nice outside of the mass concentration of totalitarian Bond villains. I have to say, Switzerland is an awesome country. It's a phenomenal place. That's why the world's elite always meet there, because it is it. Here's what's so interesting about Switzerland. And this is as Davos happens this weekend, we just need to kind of keep get this messaging. Why is it that the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, they want to meet in a country that literally has the strictest immigration policies imaginable? You know how hard it is to immigrate to Switzerland? Really hard. Why don't they have the World Economic Forum in Mogadishu? I mean, Somalia, I hear, is nice this time of year. They're meeting in like the whitest country in the world. Why is that? Why are they doing that? Maybe they're a bunch of racists? No, it's actually because Switzerland's super nice and clean. Switzerland is the only country in Europe that can completely insulate itself, because you can only drive into Switzerland through a tunnel or a bridge. Why does that matter? You can close off Switzerland within 5 minutes. The alert goes off. Switzerland is self-contained. Switzerland has strict immigration. Switzerland has national language, heritage, they're unafraid about it. And isn't it fascinating that the globalists themselves want to go to one of the most ultra-nationalistic countries to go celebrate globalism? Like, if they actually wanted to go celebrate globalism in the entire mess of stuff, why do they go to a country that is intentionally not in the EU? Switzerland is in its own economic zone. It's so interesting that the globalists, when they want to party and wine and dine themselves, they don't go out of their way to go to Lisbon or Paris. Paris used to be awesome. Paris has been destroyed by the very same things they want to do. But there has to be one sandbox for the world's elite. Out of all the cities, I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, come on. The World Health Organization, to be equitable and fair, they should go meet in Benghazi. I mean, come on, they did such a great job displacing Gaddafi. They don't want to go plant the flag. I hear it's nice this time of year. They could go for a sea in this. They could go for a swim in the Sea of Tripoli. No? No. Instead, they want to go to the one country that actually does the stuff they say is evil and racist. That's where the World Economic Forum wants to party and wine and dine themselves. Borders are racist. Really? Have you been to Switzerland? They don't have mass migration. They don't allow it because they know it would destroy their country. And you might say, well, Charlie, it's hypocrisy. No, 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 it's not. It's hierarchy. They think they're better than you. They know it's contradictory. Spring and summer are the seasons for finally getting outside for entertaining pool parties and barbecues. But if your yard looks like a plant cemetery, you're not going to enjoy it as much. Get your place looking like a resort easy with fast-growing trees. When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how matters. That's why fastgrowingtrees.com experts curate thousands of plants, varieties that will thrive in your specific climate, location, and needs. There's no waiting in lines and no messy cars from hauling plants all over town because you order online or over the phone. Even if you've never had a green thumb, they'll always make you feel like you do. 1 million home gardeners have already seen fastgrowingtrees.com can do for them. Fastgrowingtrees.com is amazing. We are using it for our condo. I think you'd love it. There's lots of different options. Plus, with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, you can trust everything will be healthy for years to come. Just go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk right now, and you can get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. That's fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. Residents in Switzerland, any foreigner in Switzerland staying for longer 90 days needs a residence permit or will be deported by Swiss officials. Interesting. Imagine if America did that. In fact, when we try to do that, the left calls us racist and bigoted. And yet the world, the elite, they don't want to actually go to the countries that have open borders. No, they actually want to enjoy the spoils of what could be a protected society. Of all the countries to choose, they want to choose the country that is the most nationalistic in Central Europe, with the exception of maybe Hungary. But if Switzerland allowed their borders to be as open as Germany's, maybe Switzerland wouldn't be Switzerland. And they know that. They say it openly. But instead, they want open borders for everywhere, except they want their little carve-out backyard play, their sandbox, if you will. So the World Economic Forum and the World Health Assembly are meeting in Switzerland. Most Republicans are completely worthless. We know that. They don't know anything about anything. We got an email here. It said, Charlie, I contacted my senator. My senator said that there is no truth to the World Health Organization declaration. This is an establishment Republican. He obviously hasn't read the declaration. And look, maybe most Republican senators trust the World Health Organization. But do you? Do you listening right now trust the World Health Organization? If you do, then keep on voting for these Republican establishment senators. They need to hear from you, and you should send the specifics of exactly what is in this declaration. Cut 75, Dr. Malone expands on it, saying that Tedros, the Chinese Communist Party puppet who runs the World Health Organization, will now be able to suspend constitutions, allowing them full power over the world. All put forth by our executive branch. Are Republicans listening? I know you are. I know everyday people are listening, but why are your leaders ignoring this? Are Republicans too busy sending money to Ukraine? Oh, okay, so we need to give $40 billion to Zelensky, and that's the most important thing happening in the world, according to Mitch McConnell. But meanwhile, in Geneva, they're destroying American sovereignty through public health declarations. Play cut 75.
Under this gross new bill that they want to have passed that was proposed by our government here in the United States, our executive branch quietly has proposed that there be passage of an agreement, basically a treaty, that would allow Tedros to suspend constitutions in the Western democracies and take over and set policy for the entire world.
Now, the significance of all this is the continuation of the state of emergency. Now, again, this what makes our program different than most other conservative podcasts or live streams or radio programs is we're not just going to do the kind of the Republican good, Democrat bad thing. You know, yeah, we do plenty of that, of course, when it's helpful and necessary. But Do you know that Biden has just expanded his declaration of emergency for the eighth time? And Congress isn't doing anything about it? Why would... So let's just play this out. Why are Republicans in Congress not worried that Joe Biden has infinite emergency declaration powers? Why not? Cut 76, Naomi Wolf, who is a liberal, by the way, talks about how Biden has extended his own state of emergency for the eighth time with no termination date in sight. Play cut 76.
Biden extended the state of emergency last month for the eighth time, but for the first time in an open-ended way. No terminus date. He also, this allowed him to send billions of dollars to HHS without going through Congress. Bear with me.
And so now you have the World Health Organization that wants to make almost those kind of emergency powers permanent. If you know anything about tyrants, which Joe Biden has the heart of a tyrant, he is a tyrannical thug, they never want to give up their power. Why would they give it back to the people? That's what made the American Founding Fathers so incredibly profound. They're the first people to win a war that became less powerful after the war. They gave up their power. They gave it back to the people. They created a system that diffused the decision-making process. Checks and balances, consent to the governed, having an independent judiciary. Every one of the promises, every one of the guarantors of liberty will be obliterated if the World Health Organization is successful here. With us right now is an incredibly wise and great patriot, someone who has been speaking out against COVID tyranny and has also been unafraid to go into the weeds and do research, whether it's ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and really waging a very effective war against remdesivir. And he's been one of the most articulate and effective writers in the last couple of years. And he's been keeping the bad guys on defense, which is just terrific. It's Daniel Horowitz, who has a new article out all about this topic we're talking about. Daniel Horowitz says, quote, states must preemptively nullify any WHO international pandemic regulations. Daniel, welcome back to the program. Tell us, what is the WHO poised to do? Separate fact from fiction, and how should we respond?
Sure. You can't view this in a vacuum. That's first of all. You have to look at the broader context that the Biden administration just conducted this global COVID summit where they essentially warned there's going to be an even bigger pandemic that is even more deadly, and it's going to happen in the fall and the winter. It's kind of interesting. They seem to always know that, you know, when it's going to happen. So I would take them at face value. I ignored it last decade and never paid attention to this, but now I think we should take them seriously. So the broader point is that the impression that Republicans are trying to give you, and when I say Republicans, I mean the Mitch McConnells, I mean a lot of governors and state legislative leaders. When I had friends of mine in state legislatures, they're like, dude, we gotta immunize ourselves against this to make sure it doesn't happen again. Let's utilize the time we live in when all these non-pharmaceutical interventions, so to speak, have become so unpopular, and let's make sure we permanently ban it in law and state constitutions. And they're like, no, we're done with COVID. Let's move on. They don't want to talk about it. But we're not done with it. We're not done with the biomedical state because, Charlie, this wasn't some once-in-a-100-year natural virus that happened to come and now it's over with. So maybe they responded inappropriately or even in an evil way, but it's over with. No, they induced it, they created it, and they're on to the next thing. And they've already groomed, dare I say, our generation to automatically acculturate themselves to this sort of reaction. So what they're trying to do now, and this is coming together, is globalize and synergize this response. They like what happened the last 2 years, but they think they could do even better. They don't want any Floridas. They don't want any Swedens. They don't want any scientific control groups against their next human experimentation. So what this would do is, now, Biden knows he doesn't have 67 votes for a treaty. They've been talking about a pandemic treaty for a while at the WHO, a lot of European countries, and they openly call for it. See, in America, it's a little bit different because the people still have a little bit more of an appreciation for liberty. So the Biden administration has been awfully quiet, very quiet the last number of months. I wrote about this months ago, and I was wondering, hey, like, where is he? Well, now we know. In January, they quietly sent a proposal to WHO not for a new treaty, but to amend the 2005 international health regulations, where basically they had pandemic cooperation, where everything was, you know, at the behest of the state, with the cooperation of the state, in consultation with the state. They redlined, and you could see the strike through on their 12-page document, anything that was may is shall. Anything that was with it, consultation with the state, so to declare a public health emergency in an area, no, that is all they could do that unilaterally, the Secretary General, or he could appoint a regional coordinator to do that. They're going to track, trace, analyze. And typically, even if you agree to something like this, you have 18 months to back out, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the changes they make is on that provision itself, they change it to 6 months. Now, Charlie, if you do the math, May 22nd, and by the way, Biden already says he has a list of 40 countries, all the Western countries, you know, Canada, Australia, Europe, that have signed on to this already. May 22nd plus six gets you where? Roughly late November during the lame duck era, when it's going to expire before, let's just assume Republicans would do anything about it anyway. I don't know if they would, but, you know, Biden has to prepare for that remote possibility. Maybe they'd care. So this would be locked and loaded that you couldn't go back on it, because if it would remain 18 months, then they could come the next year and have a little bit more leverage against him.
So what I want to understand, though, is why are our elected Republicans not aware of what's happening in Geneva in the coming days? Why are some of them, when I'm dialoguing with them and our listeners are, they're being told that they're conspiracy theorists? What is really going on here, Daniel? Be as factually precise as you can with the details, because there's a lot of listeners right now that are relentlessly communicating with their representatives and they're being told, oh, no, that's not true. And then secondly, what is the marching orders that we have to give these Republicans to prevent this biomedical fascism from becoming institutionalized on an international basis?
Again, I want to be clear. I'm not even so into the WHO in a vacuum. It's what it broadly represents is that the Biden administration is not done with it. And when I say not done with it, it's not even just next thing or the clot shots, and that's a whole other thing. But even the things that we thought we were done with, remember Wuhan-level lockdown gaslit what we wound up going through. Now we have a Shanghai-level lockdown. What do you think that's doing? And remember, the WHO is China, because the only country that wasn't invited, I wish we weren't invited, but we were, is Taiwan. Literally the only country not invited. So there's nothing not factual. It's literally the Biden administration sent this. We have the document, the strike-throughs. You could read it. It's unbelievable. There was no press release. There was no press conference. We didn't even know about it until like 3 months later. That they submitted this. So that tells you that commensurate with how much they wanted to keep this quiet is how much you need to shout it from the rooftops. Now, to answer the Republicans, let's see, Charlie. You have to understand, I don't know if it's a mental illness. They don't live in the same world we do. So we're looking at our values are being destroyed. The economy is on fire. The inflation is unbelievable. The biomedical fascism, I get heartbreaking emails every day. It's still going on. 18-year or 17-year military active duty soldiers being kicked out of the military 1 year for – I mean, every day the shots are like – every time I speak to you, the amount of time we the amount of things we find out about it, the negative efficacy, the VADs – the insane degree. I mean, it's hard data now. This is not like, oh, they're experimental. We don't know. We actually do know now. It's, you know, is everyone going to be screwed or is it this percent? And they have nothing to say about any of these issues. The answer is Mitch McConnell told you what he thinks. And I want to be clear. This is not Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins or Mitt Romney. This is Mitch McConnell. This is the down the line, the mainstream leadership of the GOP. And in that is every mainstream Senate Republican, every governor, and the typical House and Senate leaderships in the state legislatures. They're all like that. Some are worse than McConnell, but at a minimum, they're like McConnell. McConnell said last week, if you remember, there is no greater issue facing us than Ukraine. Okay, that's what he said. And today he just bragged about they're about to vote on the $40 billion giveaway to Ukraine. And he said he called it a bipartisan landslide. I mean, to protect global security and sovereignty. That's roughly paraphrasing what he told reporters this morning. I don't know what to tell you, Charlie. I think some of them are subversive. They're in with Big Pharma. They're in on it. Others, I think, are so morally and intellectually bankrupt. They just don't care. They just don't see it. It's like, they're like, do you see what happened to Ukraine's sovereignty? Literally, as we came out with 235,000 apprehensions in 1 month, it's on video. You can't miss it. The lineups. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. There's some disease that you're not allowed to care about Americans. And if you had kind of an artificial intelligence technology to rate for you the top 100 most devastating issues from 1 to 100, they'll flip that pyramid on its head and make number 101. I'm saying even if they're not wrong, and I don't know how to relate to these people other than to tell you, like, this is the rule, not the exception.
Yes.
When I was younger than you, you know, let's say teens, early 20s, I started in this, and I knew really you quick. Had back then you had a couple of rhinos. You had, you know, people like Lincoln Chafee, Jim Jeffords back then. And I thought it was just like a handful of them. And I've realized it's a handful of ones that are sane. Aside for them, they're all problems. So what do we have to do? It's got to be the states. The governors and state legislatures need to pass a resolution and say, I don't know what Biden's doing, but we are criminalizing the enforcement of that in this state.
I want to reinforce that. The solution is Congress is a waste of rations, but every state right now needs to have a special session and pass a bill signed by the governor saying, we do not honor the WHO in the state of Florida, in the state of South Dakota, the state of Nebraska, whatever it is. The states need to secede from the WHO. Let me say that again. The states need to have a declaration and preempt intervention from Tedros and from all these people. I could not agree more. That is the only solution. And guess what? The state legislatures, some of them are bad, but they're far better, in my experience, than the halls of Congress. So, Daniel, expand on this. How can states act and preemptively secede from the World Health Organization? What does that look like? What can be done? Walk us through it.
Sure. So obviously it looks like nothing because the WHO is nothing and it's not even the Constitution. I mean, there's harder things that we need to broach at a state level, which I think is justified. If the federal government violates the social compact, then states, you know, through the doctrine of lowest magistrate, you have to interpose between the liberties of the people and the corrupt, you know, legal system up on top. So this is really easy because this is international. It's not binding. It's nothing. It's garbage. It's China. So, you know, I would say they should do it even if Congress adopts it. So certainly the fact that it's not, it's very simple. And it comes in several forms. So number one, I think every state needs to pass a sanctuary resolution, constitutional sanctuary. And I've written up some examples of what that should look like. I've talked about it on my podcast. I've gone down a list of a statement of principles and human rights that certain things are ironclad, like you can never be locked down. You can never have your body forcibly, you know, masked and injected and discriminated against in the realm of public accommodation as a result of exercising that right. And I think some of that language needs to be codified in state constitutions, right? When you say you know, federal constitutional amendment, it's like basically saying go to hell, right? It's never going to happen. State constitution, you know, Republicans have supermajority trifectas all over the place. Those states, it's very easy for them to do it. Sometimes maybe they'll have to wait a year. They have different rules. They can change those rules. Frankly, they have the votes to do it. I mean, I've been pushing this all year, and there's a friend of mine who introduced it in Pennsylvania. It at least got out of committee, and that's the farthest we've gotten in a single state. And that's really disappointing. Again, that we've gone through such a cathartic time and we haven't come out of it with a Nuremberg Declaration, with a Nuremberg Code. That's what we need. And related to, so it's not just that we're going to reject the WHO, but it's wherever it is, if it comes from Biden directly, this doesn't happen here. And in fact, we're going to criminalize that behavior. That is going to be a felony in this state for any state, local, or NGO, state-funded NGO to implement any of those human rights violations, right? So that is something they could preemptively do. And don't just view it in terms of the technicality of the language of a resolution, but it's the political momentum. The worst thing you can do, what Biden wants to do, is come out like, boom, you know, when it's too late. We want to drag him out behind the bushes and just pounce on it before he could even talk about it. That is the strategy politically. But again, like I told you, they've moved on. You know, this week, the FDA announced literally a Joseph Mengele policy that they're going to push a third shot on 5 to 11-year-olds. I want you guys to understand it's for a virus that never affected them. 75% already a couple of months ago, according to CDC, had immunity. It's negative effective from every single data point, including CDC now has data showing that there's a higher infection rate, perfect correlation with the higher vaccinated states have the highest rates now. Walgreens data, UK data, it's everywhere. There's not a single data point that doesn't show that. And the amount of problems we are seeing from this, what several data points have honed in on is roughly a 1% severe adverse event rate. 1%, one entire percent. You know, 240 million Americans got it, something like that. That is several million people. And then what Dr. Malone and Peter McCullough, they've been warning about, subclinical myocarditis. Okay, this is very important. The myocarditis rates, they say, for the teenage boys, maybe 1 in 1,000, 1 in 2,000. Pfizer's leaked documents, this could be 1 in 1,000. FDA, in their document approving Comirnaty, they have a pharmacovigilance document, and it's a zip file on FDA's website. It's not the court release documents. It's right on their website. And they say, you know, look, we'd like for Pfizer, Comirnaty, whatever, to go and conduct a subclinical myocarditis study. Why? Because they say that the only data they do have on that is from a smallpox vaccine, the only other thing that I think has ever caused myocarditis, mm-hmm. and they found a 60 times greater rate of subclinical to clinical. That would put you at 1 in 15. And Malone is downright saying that it's a majority, and yet Latipo from Florida was the only Republican-controlled Department of Health to say, we're not doing that here, lash out against it.
Daniel Horowitz, everybody. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on short notice. The states have to act now to protect our God-granted liberty. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.